There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
You are unmuted.
Hey. All persons have any business before the Honorable Beverly Cannoni, Justice of the Norfolk Superior Court, and before the County of Norfolk. Draw near, give your attendance, and you shall be heard. God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. This court is now open. You may be seated.
Good morning, counsel. Good morning, Ms. Reed.
Good morning, jurors.
Good morning.
I do have to ask you those same three questions. Were you all able to follow the instructions and refrain from discussing this case with anyone since we left yesterday?
Yes.
Everyone said yes and nodded affirmatively. Were you also able to follow the instruction and refrain from doing any independent research or investigation into this case?
Yes.
Everyone said yes and nodded affirmatively. Did anyone happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case since we left yesterday?
No.
Everyone said no or shook their heads. Before we start, at the end of the trial, when I give you your instructions, I'll explain to you what a stipulation is. But essentially, a stipulation really is just something, a fact that the lawyers agree to. So what the lawyers want me to tell you, what they agree with, is that last Friday, when we were on our view at 34 Fairview, you may have seen an object in the front lawn. It looked like a rock. If you saw that, please disregard it. They want you to know that that was not there on January 28th to January 29th, 2022. With that, could we have Mr. Whitten back, please? Good morning.
So you're still under oath. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Lessie, you all set?
Thank you, Your Honor. May I approach witness?
Yes.
Thank
Your Honor, if I may address the court.
Okay.
Mr. Brennan and I have agreed, as we did yesterday, to stipulate into evidence portions of Mr. Whiffen's March 2025 report. So if I could have it marked.
Okay.
Thank you.
Exhibit 43.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Morning, Mr. Whiffen.
Good morning.
And welcome back.
Thank you.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Whiffen, I've just handed you, which is in evidence as Exhibit 43, and this is a portion of your March 2025 report. If you could just take a moment to look at it, and when you've had a fair opportunity to do that, I'd ask you to turn to page 28. And just if you could, sir, just pick up your head and let me know when you're ready to proceed.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
You ready, Mr. Whiffen?
I am.
Thank you. So what I'd like to do is to, with your Honor's permission, is to publish pages 28, 29, and 30, and start with page 28.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Wolf, and if you could enlarge the text down below as much as you can so the jury can see it. Thank you, Mr. Wolf. So, Mr. Whiffen, this summary section of your report is a summary of the location section that you wrote in your March 2025 report, correct?
That's correct.
And it states, the location data on this device contains a vast number of records while traveling between 12-19-33 and 12-24-38. These records all have a high horizontal accuracy value as well as bearing and speed information which conforms to the streets being traveled. Next paragraph. The device arrived outside 34 Fairview at 12-24-38 where it ain't static for about 30 seconds. Do you see that, sir?
I do, yes.
And did I read that correctly?
You did.
Did I read that correctly?
Sorry, yes, you did.
So at the end of it says, show the device moving west from the roadside towards the house. That's what you wrote, correct?
Correct.
I would like you to, Mr. Wilk, if we could switch back to the timeline of Mr. Whiffen that we had published yesterday in DEC. Mr. Whiffen, if you could please, we just read that portion of your report that says at 25:30 the device bearing shifts to a westerly direction as location records also show the device moving west from the roadside towards the house. Did you put that in your timeline?
I did not.
It's kind of important information, isn't it?
I believe with the declining accuracy, the value that those records provided was more limited.
But it was important enough for you to write it in your report, but you didn't put it in the timeline, correct?
Correct.
Now, if you could continue on your report, page 29, Mr. Wolk, if we could put, and we're going to be flipping back and forth between the timeline in your report.
Okay.
If we could go to page 29, enlarge it, the text, so the jury is able to read it along with us. We're going to start from the top. So the next says, from the combination of device location and bearing, it does appear
that the device started to move towards the house. However, since the bearing information appears to be based on the location records rather than the direction the device is facing, it is difficult to say with any degree of certainty if the device actually moved. Did I read that correctly?
You did.
So the first part is again a statement that the device has started to move toward the house. Now, if we could go to the next paragraph. This location data is immediately followed by 12 minutes of low accuracy records, which offer no reliable location information. So I just want to make sure I've got the time period here. The 12 minutes is from 12:25, correct?
Yes.
And so 12:25 plus 12 is 12:37. So the range we're talking about here is from 12:25 through 12:37, correct?
Correct.
Then, if we could go to, Mr. Wolk, please, back to the timeline, slide 82. So I want to discuss with you the very entry, health 12:31:56, where you have the entry, start of health event, 36 steps, 25 meters, and yesterday we agreed 25 meters is approximately 84 feet, correct?
Correct.
And that is what you have in the timeline. Let's understand what that means. At that time period, 12:31:56, do you recall writing in your March 2025 report that the device began moving for a period of 20 seconds?
Related to the location data, I believe?
Yes.
Yes.
Now if we could, Mr. Wolk, go back to page 29 of the report. So what I want to do is go back to that paragraph up at the top from the combination of the device. From the combination of device location and bearing, it does appear that the device started to move toward the house. However, since the bearing information appears based on the location records rather than the direction the device is facing, it is difficult to say with any degree of certainty if the device actually moved. So you're talking about difficulty saying with certainty, correct?
Correct.
But it is certainly possible that the device was at that location and was moving toward the house. That's possible, correct?
Based on location data, yes.
Now what I'd like to do, please, is to go stay on that report. And the third paragraph says, the reason for such low accuracy location data at this time is not known, as there are many possible reasons why the accuracy was be reduced. There's a little grammar issue there, but
correct.
In fairness to you, sir, we do that when we write long reports. But I think that your intention here is, you know, why the accuracy is reduced at this point, correct?
Yes. Correct.
Thank you. This could include reasons such as the device entered a building covered area, the result of weather conditions, geography, poor connectivity, or interference, to name a few. So those are the reasons you gave which could contribute to some low accuracy, correct?
Correct.
And interesting, the very first reason you gave is that the device could be entering a building or covered area. And that phraseology could include a house, correct?
Correct.
It could include a garage attached to the house, correct?
Correct.
And it could include the house at 34 Fairview, and it could include the garage attached to the house at 34 Fairview, because both of those are buildings or covered areas, correct?
Correct.
Then you go on in the next paragraph to say it is known that the device was not being used at this time, and is this time that include that 12:37, 12-minute range, 12:25 to 12:37?
Yes, it was not being used for location purposes. Right.
So that's another reason why, right, the accuracy could be a little bit on the lower side.
Correct.
Now, the next paragraph says, at 12:38:13, when the device begins recording higher, and that's relative to what it was recording before. It's not that it's high, but it's higher than what it was just moments before.
Correct.
The data centers on a location slightly closer to the house than the roadside. Although several records show the same center coordinate with differing accuracy radii. Some of these location records are shown in the map below in white. So let's go down and look at what you had in your report for the area in white. In the area in white that you're referring to, there are two white circles, the largest one there. This, in fact, was a depiction you included in your report on page 29, correct?
Correct.
Interesting and notable, you did not include that depiction in your timeline that you discussed with the jury yesterday, did you?
I did not, know.
But it was important enough for you to put that depiction in your report, correct?
Correct.
And notably, the larger white circle covers a substantial amount of the house at 34 Fairview, correct?
Correct.
So, given your testimony on direct yesterday with Attorney Brennan, the phone of John O'Keefe, according to this depiction, could be anywhere within the largest white circle, correct?
Correct.
And this depiction was not offered by you or the Commonwealth in your presentation to the jury yesterday, correct?
Correct, not in the PowerPoint.
Now, if we could go back, Mr. Wolk, to page 29 of your report, into text, and enlarge the text just a little bit, please, for the jury, Mr. Wolk. So the paragraph that begins with at 12:38:13, when the device begins recording higher accuracy information again, the data centers on a location slightly closer to the house than the roadside, although several records show the same center coordinate with differing accuracy radii. Some of these location records are shown on the map in white below. And I repeated that just to tether, to connect this part of the text to that diagram with the big white circle. Have I done that correctly?
Yes, correct.
Thank you, sir. The next paragraph. Over the next few hours, the GPS coordinate and associated accuracy radius jumps around numerous times between the house and the road. Did I read that correctly?
Correct.
And therefore, over the next few hours, according to your report, the phone of John O'Keefe could be in the house, correct?
Based on the low accuracy information, yes.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
The next paragraph. Well, we'll stop there for a moment, and I would like to, Mr. Will, put back, go down, scroll, please, to that diagram that's right below that text again. Yesterday, you discussed the Waze application with Ms. Attorney Brennan, correct?
Correct.
And you stated that Waze location data is more accurate than the data that comes from the Apple apps like health data and location, correct?
Incorrect, no.
I'm sorry. Is Waze location data, in your view, accurate location data?
There isn't really a thing such as Waze location data. Waze location data doesn't really exist. Waze is requesting location data from location services, and location services would respond with high accuracy information.
Okay, I appreciate that correction. So, when someone is using a Waze application, is the information they get through that Waze app accurate?
It tries to be accurate, yes.
And as a general matter, is the Waze application more accurate than the Apple information regarding location?
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing because it's coming essentially from the same source, correct?
Yes, Apple provides that information to Waze.
Right. So you had testified yesterday that at a certain point, the Waze application ceased functioning, correct?
Correct.
But just because it ceased functioning, the Waze, the Apple applications were still taking effect, and that's why you could make this depiction on this item that is on the screen now, correct?
Correct.
If we could, Mr. Wolk, go to page 30. In the, what I'd like to highlight, please, is the text. So if we can enlarge it up at the top. So you then state, while location data from this data source, cache, SQLite, is usually able to identify the location of the device with a high degree of accuracy and reliability, these records are so close that making a distinction between the device's actual location on the front garden is impossible, correct?
Correct.
Your words, impossible.
Correct.
Did you provide any of the information in that paragraph in your timeline or to the jury in your direct testimony yesterday?
Not in the PowerPoint, no.
Next paragraph. If the location records are limited to just the records between 0025, which is 1225, and
6 a.m. and with an accuracy radius of 10 meters or less, there are 46 records, all of which fall within the red circle shown below. Go ahead, Mr. Wolk, if you could scroll down. And that is the only depiction there that you included in your timeline yesterday, correct?
Correct.
So you took one of two depictions in your summary of the location, this one, in terms of your timeline presentation, correct?
Correct.
Now, in terms of the timeline, and Mr. Wolk, if we could go back to the previous with the other depiction. It's on page 29. If we could enlarge that depiction, please. So, you testified that the flagpole and the fire hydrant are more down toward the small black circle. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes.
And yesterday, you rendered an opinion that you believed that the phone was mostly in the location by the flagpole in the fire hydrant, correct?
Objection.
I'm going to see counsel at sidebar for a minute, please.
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. We could dim the lights again, please. Thank you. So, if we can enlarge that depiction. So, yesterday, Mr. Whiffen, you focused your testimony and your opinions on the smaller black circle, correct?
Correct.
And you didn't discuss at all or disclose at all this depiction, and therefore didn't discuss or disclose at all the larger white circle, correct?
Not when discussing my overall opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
So the answer is...
is no.
Right. So the fair way to interpret, and this is what you put in your report, this is your depiction, is that, and based upon what you said yesterday, the phone could be at the very edge of the top of the circle, correct?
Correct.
And the phone could also be at any point, so you can, in theory, put a phone anywhere around the very edges of that entire circle, correct?
There's caveats to that, but yes.
Well, I'm just asking you that according to your testimony yesterday in this depiction, the phone could be anywhere in that location within the area of that white circle.
Correct.
I would like to now go back to the timeline, Mr. Wolf, where we had left off, which is slide 82. And at the very top entry, you have health, time 3156, and then the description, start of health event, 36 steps,
25 meters, and we agreed about 84 feet. And this is where the device began moving toward the house for a period of 20 seconds. Is that correct?
It's the time that 36 steps started to be recorded. I've got no idea of the direction of travel.
I want to focus on the time, 12:31:56. Are you aware that a firm called Aperture, on behalf of the Commonwealth, has submitted a report that states that there was a trigger event at 12:31:56 that they refer to as the supposed collision? Are you aware of that?
Objection.
Sustained.
I recall seeing a report. Sorry.
You don't have to answer that.
Sorry, apologies.
And that's okay.
Mr. Whiffen, are you familiar with a firm called Aperture?
I'm vaguely aware of them. I've heard of them once.
Are you familiar with a person by the name of Dr. Judson Welter?
I'm not, no.
But you're familiar with the firm Aperture?
I am.
And do you know that the Aperture firm is working on this case?
That's the only reason I'm aware of this company.
Right. And do you know that the Aperture firm has used your data in your report? Do you know that?
I believe I saw something about that.
You believe you saw something, or do you know that they've used your data for a report in this matter?
I recall seeing a report. I don't recall whether it was my data that was being referenced.
Do you recall seeing a report from Aperture?
I do.
So you reviewed a report from Aperture?
Several months ago, yes.
And did you read the whole report?
It was a PowerPoint presentation, I believe.
Yes.
Yes, I reviewed it.
And you recall reading that entire PowerPoint presentation?
I don't recall what it said, but I remember reading through it.
Fair enough. Do you remember, as you sit here today, reading about a trigger of a number 11622, do you recall reading that?
I recall seeing reference to a trigger event.
What did you understand the Aperture firm that's retained by the Commonwealth, what do you understand they meant by trigger 11622?
Objection.
Sustained.
Do you recall the specific slide that discussed a trigger?
Objection.
Do you recall that, Mr. Whiffen?
Very vaguely.
Okay.
Would it help your recollection if I showed you a slide from that report that you said you reviewed to refresh your recollection?
Okay.
All right, so why don't I see counsel at sidebar? Bring that with you, Mr. Lessie, please.
Mayor, Your Honor.
You can approach.
Thank you.
Mr. Whiffen, I'm handing you this document.
Thank you.
May I stand by the witness?
Sure.
Tell me when you've had a fair opportunity to take a look at that.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Whiffen, does that refresh your recollection with regard to an Aperture report that discusses a trigger of 11622?
It does, thank you.
Pardon me?
It does, thank you.
And how does it refresh your recollection?
I remember seeing that. several months ago.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. There's a blower on here that I'm having trouble hearing Mr. Whiffen. If you, sir, could bring the mic, it's not your fault. If you could bring it and speak a little louder, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I recall seeing that as part of the report that I read 2 months ago.
And you recall the time of 12:31:38 now, correct?
Correct.
Let's go back to your timeline. So you just spoke about a trigger 11:62:2 associated with a time of 12:31:38, and we are now at the timeline of 12:31:56, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
We are now going back to the timeline, deck 82, and you see up at the top where it says health 3156. You see that, sir?
I do.
And then it says start of health event 36 steps, 25 meters, which we have said is 84 feet or so. And this is when the device begins moving, correct?
Correct.
And that is after the trigger of 11:62:2, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Let's go to the next entry on the timeline, which is 12:32:03. You see that? That's Doppler?
I do.
And then you state pocket state cleared. Is the phone at that time in a pocket?
It's impossible for me to say. I can say that the camera was blocked, but I don't know what was blocking it.
You're saying at this point the camera is blocked?
It had been blocked, and at that point it became unblocked.
So at this point it became unblocked from a previous block status, correct?
Yes.
Does there have to be some human manipulation of the phone at 12:32:03 for that to happen?
Technically not. There are scenarios that wouldn't require it.
Is it more likely than not that there had to have been some human contact in action for this pocket state clearing event to occur?
Yes.
12:32:04 is the next. It's a type unlock. Device unlock with face ID. You see that, sir?
I do.
Is there some human action that has to occur for the device to unlock with face ID?
Typically, you must be paying attention to the phone.
Sorry, sir?
You must be paying attention to the phone, assuming that that setting's enabled.
So someone had to be looking at the phone?
Yes.
At 12:32:05, application focus. What does that mean?
That the messages application was at the foreground of the device being used.
Next entry, 12:32:06. We discussed this, it says read message, pull behind me. And that is associated with a Jen McCabe, it's the Jen McCabe message of 3147, correct?
Correct.
And does a human have to be reading that for that entry to be made?
The message needs to be on screen. If the conversation with Jen McCabe was already on screen when the device was unlocked, then that message would automatically be considered read.
Next entry, app lock 12:32:09, end application focuses messages, and then it says device locked with lock button for the last time. That requires human interaction with the phone, correct?
Correct.
And it actually requires somebody to take the cell phone and press the side button to do that, correct?
It does, yes.
So there has to be some degree of coordination for that to occur, for a human to be able to have a something that hits that button, correct?
Certainly, yes.
And that's Do you understand what a term fine motor skill means? Do you understand that? And would that person have to be using fine motor skills to do that?
Yes.
Next entry, 12-32-16. End of health event, 36 steps, 25 meters, again, 84 feet. That is in your timeline because that's when you believe the end of the health event, the end of the 36 steps occurred, correct?
That is the time that the device data shows the end of the health event, yes.
May I have a moment, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do you need the light, Mr. Lessie?
Yeah, it would be helpful. Thank you,
Your Honor. Could we have the lights, please, Dave?
Do you recall writing in your March 2025 report the following? The final health activity of note on John's phone can be seen to have occurred between 12:31:56 and 12:32:16, during which 36 steps were recorded, covering a distance of 25.4 meters, again, that 84 feet, according to healthdbsecure.db. Do you recall writing that?
I do.
And you used in your report, 36 steps were recorded covering a distance of 25.4 meters or 84 feet, correct?
Correct.
Do you know a trooper named Nicholas Guarino?
I'm aware of him, yes.
Are you a little more than aware of him? You've worked with him on this case, haven't you?
He sent me some of the files related to it, but further than that, I've got no relationship with him.
But isn't someone sending you files on a case you're working on, working with the person? Isn't that a fair conclusion?
It could be.
Do you recall reading any reports of Nicholas Guarino?
I don't recall reading a report by Nick.
Does that mean you didn't read it, or you just don't recall reading it?
I honestly can't remember if I did or not. I remember some of the reports that I read for this case. I don't recall if one was by Nick.
Would it refresh your recollection if I showed you a portion of his report to determine whether you would have read it?
Please.
Thank you.
Moment, Your Honor, please.
Sure.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yes.
Thank you.
Show Mr. Brennan?
Yes. I just want to make sure I've got the entire report.
Mr. Whitman?
Thank you.
May I stand by the witness, Your Honor? Thank you. I am providing you with a document, and I would ask if that refreshes your recollection as to whether you read a report of Mr. Guarino.
A report or this report?
This report. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay.
I don't recall ever seeing this report.
Have you ever had any conversations with Trooper Nicholas Guarino?
Very briefly.
But you have, the answer is yes.
Yes.
Did Trooper Guarino tell you that he measured the distance from the flagpole to the front door and it was 72 feet? Did he ever tell you that?
Object to the form.
Sustain.
Did you ever have a conversation with Trooper Nick Guarino about the distance from the flagpole to the front door of 34 Fairview?
Maybe.
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 So is it maybe then? You had a conversation with him in which he stated to you that that distance is 72 feet?
It's maybe.
So if we go back to what we were discussing earlier about the steps and the distance covered, and this is in your report of March 2025, where we've talked about this, and it's the final health activity of note on John's phone can be seen to have occurred between 12:31:56 and 12:32:16.
Is this the correct slide?
No, it's not.
So let's take it down.
Thank you, Your Honor. Let me start that over. The final health activity of note on John's phone can be seen to have occurred between 12:31:56 and 12:32:16, during which 36 steps were recorded, covering a distance of 5.4 meters, or 84 feet. 84 feet is greater than 72 feet, correct?
Correct.
So if the distance from the flagpole to the front of the house is 72 feet, and your report notes 36 steps covering a distance of 84 feet, that would put those steps within the house, correct?
It would.
Let's continue on with the timeline. Deck 83. We now have Doppler 12:33:14 and then Doppler pocket state. Do you recall in your report adding a word to this that your report said pocket state detected? Do you recall writing that?
More than likely, yes.
But the detected word is not on that slide, is it?
It's not, no.
What does pocket state detected mean?
There was an active check by the Doppler function, and it detected that it was in a pocket state.
May I have a moment, Your Honor?
Yes.
To switch? Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Do you need this slide up there, Mr. Alessi?
I was just going to check that. I think the answer is going to be no, Your Honor.
I would now like to change gears a bit and go to temperature with an iPhone. You recall that discussion in your direct testimony.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Wilk, if we could please have the slide deck, but a different page, slide 60. And just tee it up, but please don't put it on the screen yet. iPhones don't record ambient or the environmental temperature where the phone may be at any given time, correct?
Correct.
But the iPhones, including the iPhone of John O'Keefe, log the temperature of the battery inside of it, correct?
Correct.
And as a result of that function, examiners and folks like you can use the battery temperature of an iPhone to identify increases or decreases in temperature within the environment that the iPhone is physically located in. True?
I believe so, yes.
And that's right out of your report, right? Your March 2025 report makes that very statement, correct?
Yes.
The battery temperature of an iPhone generally matches the pattern of the rise and the fall of the thermometer temperature, correct?
From my testing, yes.
And when an iPhone is in a locked state with little activity occurring on the device, the battery temperature is heavily affected by the ambient temperature in the environment, again, matching the pattern of the rise and the fall of the thermometer temperature, right?
Correct.
And what I just read is right out of your March 2025 report, correct?
It sounds like it is, yes.
And you actually established this in various temperature testing and test scenarios in your March 2025 report, correct?
Correct.
Discuss those two tests. You had an appendix to your report that discussed two test scenarios with regard to temperature, correct?
Correct.
Can I just ask, I'm sorry, Mr. Whiffen, do you have your report with you, sir?
I don't have a copy in front of
me. I'd be happy to provide him with a copy of his report so we can have him follow along.
I think that's great. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
Would that be helpful, Mr. Whiffen?
Very, thank you.
Yes.
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you.
There you go. And Mr. Whiffen, feel free at any time to reference that report.
Thank you.
And if you could, turn to page 77.
Okay.
So, are you ready, sir?
I am, yes.
Thank you. So let's look at test scenario one. Test scenario one you took an iPhone. If I'm remembering correctly, say model is John O'Keefe's?
I believe John O'Keefe's was an iPhone 11. I used an iPhone 10.
But sufficiently similar for purposes of this experiment?
Correct.
Right,
this same iOS version.
Yes. So it's the same iOS version, the software inside the phone, just a different model.
Yes.
And it's a software that's important for this test, correct?
I believe so.
So you state that you placed the iPhone inside a freezer, correct?
Correct.
And now if we could, Mr. Wolk, if we can put that... Do we have that would be page 77? And if we could enlarge that chart, please. Enlarge it just a little bit more. We're not concerned with the text at this point. So we can just get the chart as large as possible. Thank you. Thank you. So what I'd like to do is focus on January 29th. This is your experiment. When did you do test scenario one, approximately, the date?
This is a good question. It was sometime... Probably in December last year. In December last year, I believe.
December 2024.
Correct.
So what you did here was you took the phone, you put it inside a freezer. What was the temperature of the freezer?
I actually don't know.
But it was a freezer.
It was freezing. Yes.
It was sort of your just regular freezer that everybody has.
A regular chest
Nothing
freezer.
Nothing special about
no.
it. Let's look at some of the data that you have from this. Let's start at the 1710 time frame where it's placed in the freezer and you've got, and we're going to go with Fahrenheit if that's okay with you.
Of course, yes.
Thank you. 73.4 degrees. Correct?
Correct.
And then if you go all the way down to the 1725, which would be 15 minutes, correct?
Correct.
Can you state what the drop in temperature is of the battery temperature in just 15 minutes in a freezer?
Approximately 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
So it drops 50 degrees Fahrenheit in just 15 minutes.
Correct.
And is it fair to say that if you do the math, that that's about a little over 3.5 degrees per minute? And if your honor wants to use a calculator, or just accept my estimate, whatever your honor thinks is appropriate.
However you can answer the question, Mr.
I'm happy to accept your answer. That's fine.
Let me just make sure I have a moment, Your Honor. Would that sound fair, sir?
That sounds fair.
So it's about 3.3 degrees Fahrenheit per minute drop, correct?
Correct.
Now let's go to the next page of your report, page 78, where test scenario two. And in test scenario two, you took the same phone with the same software and you placed it outside at a temperature of 33.8 degrees Fahrenheit, correct?
Correct.
And we could enlarge that, please, Mr. Wolk. And if you could just scroll up well, just if you just leave it there, it's fine. So if we take the time that we start out with a control temperature, and then we've got a battery temperature at 902, and this is the battery temperature of the iPhone, correct?
Correct.
And we've got 66.2 degrees Fahrenheit, correct?
Correct.
So is it fair to call that a baseline for purposes of what this chart is?
The device had already been outside for 2 minutes at that point, but yes.
Okay, so we'll just refer to 66.2. And then if we go from 902 down to 915, a period of 13 minutes, correct?
Correct.
So at 33.8 degrees and 13 minutes, what is the drop in temperature in degrees? What's the drop?
Between the 902 and the 915?
Right. So does it go from 66.2 to 35.6?
It does.
And sir, so I don't have to have you do a math on the fly. I've calculated that drop at 30.6. Does that sound about right?
That sounds correct, yes.
So you got a drop of 30.6 degrees in just 13 minutes at an outside temperature of 33.8, correct?
Correct.
We're going to come back to this, but what I'd like to do is to compare these two test scenarios. The one we just saw, 33 degrees Fahrenheit, where it dropped 30.6 degrees in just 13 minutes, again in an outdoor temperature of 33.8, and then test scenario one in a freezer, where it dropped 61.2 degrees in just 15 minutes. Now let's go to the slide 60, which was in your slide presentation yesterday, of what you stated was the temperature change in the iPhone of John O'Keefe on the morning of January 29th. You with me, sir?
Yep.
Thank you. So if we start out at 12:13, we see a battery temperature of 82 degrees Fahrenheit, correct?
Correct.
Then it drops a little bit to 77, a little bit to 72. And what I want to focus on is keeping the starting point for my questions here at the 12:37 time period on the morning of January 29th. And that's 72 degrees Fahrenheit, correct?
Correct.
So if you take the time period from 12:37 to 12:53, that's a 15-minute interval, correct?
Correct.
The phone only drops 11 degrees Fahrenheit in 15 minutes, correct?
Correct.
If you then go to 12:37 and give it a little bit more time, down to 1:36 a.m., the temperature, and that's just about an hour, right?
Correct.
And the temperature drops from 72 to 50, only 22 degree drop in an hour, correct?
Correct.
Now, if you compare this chart in the drop in temperature, for example, 12:37, 12:53, in 15 minutes, it's only dropping 11 degrees, to your experiments, where with the first scenario with the freezer, it dropped
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In The News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.